Next special presentation is that to be done by Dr. Lauren Johnson, who is a retired emergency room physician, previously worked for Peace Island Medical Center as well as the Inter Island Medical Center, or Peace Island Medical Center. And Dr. Johnson is here to talk about his community forum to educate our community and us with regards to the after-the-fact air medical transport denials made by Kaiser Permanente. Dr. Johnson, there you are. The floor is yours, sir.
Okay. So, as you probably know, there have been scores of denials. Hard to get an exact picture of numbers, but there doesn't seem to be any reversal in this practice of Kaiser denying payment for Aravac rescue products. And the insurances that each of the air services provide are co-insurances and will only cover will only kick in if the primary covers their portion. And so people are stunned, and there are people here among us who've been stunned to get $25,000 bills that they thought would be covered, because these are medically necessary emergency services. Transfer to from our little ER or out on the highway is to a higher level of care. If that's part of all of our rights to emergency care, codified under EMTALA, which includes medical screening, stabilization, and transfer to a higher level of care if the patient can't be stabilized in the initial treating facility. And that's routine here. During my couple of years here, I routinely transferred a lot of patients for medically necessary reasons. We are a satellite of the mainland, no duh. We have to transfer patients all over Western Washington for life-saving services. And apparently Kaiser has taken to deny the claim and will review it later. And we've encountered that with a number of HMOs all over the West Coast. So playing these games and going through lengthy appeals process, first a grievance process, then an appeals process with the insurance carrier, takes a long time, and it's a mess. And in general, they're going to decline the claim if they can get away with it. Now, the regulators are in the state of Washington is the Office of the Insurance Commissioner. And for Kaiser Medicare Advantage is Medicare. But they have to be licensed in Washington too. And so far my individual research has led me to figure out that Medicare appeals and Medicare complaints is a mess. It's very hard to find a responsible party other than Congressman Rick Larson, which Chuck McCarthy's already been in connection with. So, and that's probably been the most valuable avenue of complaint so far, because we haven't really heard anything back from the insurance commissioner, but we're inviting everybody to this community forum, okay? We're inviting the two air services. We'll have be sponsored by the Board of Health, hopefully sponsored by San Juan Hospital District and the Orcas and Lopez Hospital Districts. We're going to live stream to Orcas and Lopez. We just got Rock Island Fiber to come into Mullis. And live stream to Seattle to Chris Martin, hopefully. So if I can get it set up, which I'm the worst techie in the world, so I mean, that'll be my biggest hurdle. I know the law. I know how to teach the law. I will know the most effective way to teach the complaint and appeals algorithms, which we'll present in this forum. But what I can tell you is that so far, nothing's worked. Kaiser's been promising to meet with Dr. Sullivan. They've canceled one of the meetings. They say they're going to come to another one, but so far that hasn't happened either. So when it comes to teaching these things, it's going to take me about 35 minutes and about 10 minutes per each of the other speakers. The Air Services, Kaiser's been invited, whether they show up or not, remains to be. We're going to promise them there's going to be no pitchforks and no torches. And they're invited. And we'll have, like I said, Dr. Sullivan is coming. And Office of the Insurance Commissioner has been invited. The way it works is you invite Mike Ridley himself, and he probably sends a designee. They just gave a seminar over the SHEBA program from the Office of the Insurance Commissioner. This Kate gave a Medicare seminar over at Mullis. And a lot of people are interested in this issue and the problems with Medicare Advantage, being able to opt not to pay for things. So I think it's going to be extremely well attended, we're hoping, and hopefully it'll be informative for everybody. That's it.
Thank you, Doctor.
What time?
Oh, it's April 25th. 6:30 to 8 o'clock at Mullis in the big room.
Is that
April 25th?
Is that a Wednesday?
Thursday, April 25th, 6:30 to 8 o'clock at Mullis in the big room.
So, Lauren, are you going to put out flyers? You can't sit down.
Keep
it trying.
Yeah, you'll get one.
Thank
you. You already got one.
Oh, okay.
You've got a draft. You've got a draft, yeah. Yeah, yeah, they'll be all over town and in all the media.
Are we going to post it on our website?
Well, I'd like to offer a motion that, first of all, we formally support Dr. Johnson's efforts and encourage the other two San Juan County PhD to do likewise. So I just sort of throw that motion up for grabs right now, as a matter of fact.
Second.
Thank you very much. Discussion?
Are we going to post it on our website?
Yes, absolutely. Particularly if it passes. We're obligated to post it.
I'm going to let Kickstin come Dr. Johnson cover all the expenses of advertising with flyers and stuff.
You know, apparently, Dr. Edwards suggested that there's a foundation that might be able to help a little bit.
Yes, and that's absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, there is a very small rental fee assigned by the Mullis Senior Center. I suggested that Dr. Johnson submit it to the Interim Healthcare Foundation, and I anticipate the board will fund it. As a matter of fact, I know they will. So, and flyers, you know. Submit a bill for that too.
Okay. Won't cost much. $150 for Mullis rental, as long as we don't damage the place.
Well, you promised not to tear up the place, right?
Yeah.
So we're in the discussion period. Any other comments from the board before we call for a vote?
No, okay. Big thank you. A lot of work.
You have a comment from the public?
Yes.
Well, I can either save this for the audience participation part or make a quick rundown of the steps that I have personally had to take, or have taken, I should say, at this time.
Well, we have a motion at hand, so let's rule on that. We'd be happy to hear from you during the public discussion, and given the importance of the matter at hand, you know, you're not limited to 5 minutes in my book, unless I get overruled by the board.
I can keep it to that, though.
Okay, very good. So, call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Very good.
Can I just say,
No.
Michael, that if you look at the scope of this thing, it isn't just about air transfer. It's about the whole emergency care continuum. Because if we can't transfer our sickest patients, we can't take care of anybody.
I'd like to add my voice of thanks for all you're doing. You are our tall expert in other categories as well, so thank you for serving our community in this way.
And I would say, you're fundamental, Rebecca, as well, in getting the last Salmon Island EMS levy pass. You worked months and months and months on that, so here you are again. Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is Salmon Island. It's Salmon County PhD.
I would like to defer and let Chief Martin and Chris go first, because Chris has a meeting at 3:15. So okay. I would like.
I have no problem with that.
They have.
Is that okay, Mike?
Sure.
Okay, very good.
It's a very important first grade parent teacher conference.
For your kids, I imagine. Yeah.
I would like to thank you guys. The meetings get really long now, so if you're sitting there trying to be graceful about going and getting that alley,
there's a 3:40 ferry we'll try to get.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr.
Well, you got to wait till 3:40 then. Thanks again.
Thanks,
gentlemen. Okay, Chief Martin and Chris Compton.
Thank you, Mayor Martin. Let's get up there. February, we saw 5 less calls than we did last year, 80 calls for the month and 162 for the year to date. We had 13 Island Air assist, we had 8 airlift and 1 Navy. So everything as far as our 911 response was normal. And again, we're attributing the less calls to the community care medicine program, where we're seeing less of of our repeat patients. So I think that's working out very well. I'll give this over to Chris so he can go over the financial review for February of 2019.
All right. So the February is a little more of a normal month. We didn't have all the big one-time costs that we have in the beginning of the year in January. So, and our revenue started ticking up. So we have $161,035 revenue in January, in February, which brought us up to $270,000 for the year to date, and $164,000 expenditures, taking us to $415,827 year to date. So we're at we're basically about 12% through the year, and we're at about 12% of our year-to-date revenue. So, I'm sorry, we're 15% through the year. So, you know, we're tracking all the property tax receipts are starting to, they were starting to trickle in February, and of course, we'll see a lot more showing up this month and next. So we ended the month with about $893,000 in cash on hand, which is about 4.5 months of our budget. So overall, February is usually kind of the tightest month of the year, and we're in great shape in that regard. I get past this fun season of taxes. I know Carl and I will be sitting down. We'll be looking through revising the budget to do our amended budget to capture in how much more we're bringing in terms of the extra ACH money that's come in, the GEMT money that's been flowing in as well. So. And just trying to think if there was anything else that was on my list for this month. Does anybody have any questions?
So how much GEMT money do we have total?
Like how much have we brought in total between 2018 and 2019? I can't remember how much we brought in 2018. I could look it up and tell you it pretty quickly.
The ACH money was 40.
The ACH money that we've taken in so far has been $117,000.
Okay.
And the GEMT, I want to say it was right around 65,000 is a good number. We do keep track of these separate,
yeah.
So it'd be a really easy one that would be the
mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
I could pull them up here pretty quickly to give you a better answer.
That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In general.
At the last meeting, we had a question about the CID, and you said you're going to, I thought you said you were going to check on that number because you weren't quite sure of it at that time. You estimated at 160,000. We'd heard 225, and but you said
the amount of legal fees that we had spent on it.
Yes. We had this discussion at the last meeting. And
the money that we spent on the with the attorney specifically for the CID was right around 160,170-ish. That's been total. The 2016 year, when we had a lot of the expenses going on, we also had labor negotiations for mediations. So that ate up a lot of attorney fees too, which brought that up to close to $200,000. That is correct.
But the CID was 170-ish.
Correct.
Somewhere in the gap.
Because that was the question
yes.
that we had last, and you were going to check on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a spike. What is March page 8? At the top in employee accident and sickness insurance, I'm assuming it's your LAI?
No. That's something that I need to... It wasn't properly allocated when it was posted by the auditor's office, and we need to have it on my list of journal entries to give them. They posted all of our, we have our insurance broken up by categories, so building and errors and all that. And it all got lumped into that one account. So if you look at other insurance expenses, you'll see that there's zero on there, even though it's been budgeted.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Is that just an adjustment in your yearly budgeting?
No, it's an adjustment. It needs to just be an adjustment. It's just an adjustment to the books to break that amount out from just posting into one line item into the, I think there's five different insurance categories for the different categories of insurance that we carry. And because it all goes to the same company, it just got posted into the one. So that was just an error there.
Yeah, it's a 504%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it can't, I think in total, the amount of insurance, if you add up what we budgeted to what's in there, it's right in there on what we budgeted.
So can that be adjusted to
reduce yes, it can be
accurate? And then the line below it of insurance premiums and recoveries is up pretty
so let me look at that too.
You know, 222.
Which one? We're talking line 8 or?
Page 8.
Page 8 and?
Just underneath
it. Oh. Yeah, so again, that's all part of that. So you're saying that the accident and sickness one that was supposed to be 7,800, that was the total amount was 39,384, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the next line down that you're saying is 221%. That's a subtotal because the what we had budgeted in that particular category includes, if you see up above, that's the port on the, which is the very bottom of page 7, mm-hmm. is that that's the equipment insurance and vehicle insurance, which there was nothing posted to them, you'll see. So that's, so the sum of those, the three, the 13, the 86, 1300, 8600, and the 7800 for the accident and sickness add up to the 17,700. Okay, and that's why that's to an, that's why it's close. It's 21,684 over budget, because if you go to facilities, you'll see that there's no building insurance on there. And then in administrative, there's another insurance. That,
so they just need to be applied to the
Yeah, that, so that's the breakout that I was saying needs to be done.
And this does this also, this the employee accident sickness insurance, is that also, are you including like unemployment and L&I?
No, that has well? That is not, that's not a payroll thing.
Okay. Were you going to talk about the audit as well?
Yeah.
Pam
was going to be talking about that. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Any other questions?
All right. So the Accountable Community of Health (ACH), we're on track with that. In fact, we the group met yesterday with our community care medicine group over at Snow One, and just getting set up for the next. Deliverables that we have to give to them for our next revenue from them. So that should be coming shortly. And then Grand Emergency Medical Transport, we're expecting the payment from 2016 to 17, that should be coming, I'm sorry, from 2016 that should be coming any day. And they keep on telling us that's coming, but they're still working through the budget. So we should be expecting that. Community CPR first aid classes are continuing going on. The wilderness first aid class, they finished that. And then the two mannequins that we've got, which has been through a generous grant with the C family. IAFF 3219, no report. CID, no report. Fatigue assessment, there is no report. Everybody says that they are doing good. Narcan, we have had zero EMT usages since their EMTs are carrying it. Work with other departments, the BLS protocols are out. Still working on the ALS protocols. The paramedics have been giving their responses back to Mick, and so they're going back with that. Dispatch, they did a updated on their server yesterday, so the time issues that we've been having for the last few months should be fixed, so we should be able to get you some accurate times from now. Yes.
When you say they, it's dispatches, they?
They, it's dispatch, yes. Because our server is done through Northwest Technology, and they, we have no issues with the servers with them. So the server that the sheriff's office dispatch has is a physical one that they had to replace. The water rescue marine training program, Carl's been working with them. They've had joint training with the fire and the sheriff's office, and everything is moving forward with that. EMT class is going well. How much longer do we have? When
they graduate May 11th, then we have students that are doing their stints down at Harborview right now that are loving it, getting texts throughout the day saying, "Oh my gosh, this is great."
So the EMT training program here is going very well.
You had lost one as of the last meeting.
We lost one.
You were trying to save them back with work times and all this.
And it didn't work.
But we're still just one down. We still have 11?
We have 10. So we have 11 total.
Chief Carl is on track for this position. Him and Lanny went over to Snow One yesterday for meetings over there. We got meetings this week set up with the public health on community paramedicine issues. And they also met with the CODIN presentation that is looking at the broader communications for the islands. So they're looking at, they did a proposal presentation. They're looking at who's going to be the point person for this, maybe hire a lead radio person, and they're talking money right now to see what this whole project will cost and who's going to be working forward with that. And then we had a meeting on March 11th about the helipad, and that's where today's information came up. We met with these guys on the phone. We also met with Todd Nicholson. He is from the port director, and looking over this information, he said, based on the information that he has received, that he has no reason to object for the helipad process to go forward. The community paramedicine program is going good. We have lined ourselves up like we've been talking about with the Snow One group, which is Snow One, Snow Seven, North County, and others, and which have led the way in the community paramedicine program. So we are very fortunate to be working with them. Dr. Olivia Helsluth was here last night. She did paramedic training and EMT training last night with our group. But we've also, she's also noted that February she was supposed to be here and was not put on the schedule over at the hospital, which means her availability over here she wasn't able to do. And then also May, she was not put on the schedule for there, so we will be missing her presentation in May.
But she was here.
She was here last night.
No, but she was here in February. She was here for a different reason. Didn't they see her in February?
She actually, I think, Rick was able to pick her up and bring her over. But because she attended that meeting, she was only able to do the paramedic education, and that was real limited, but she wasn't able to do the run reviews for the EMTs because they had to get her back before it was dark.
So how would you like us to approach the schedule issue and getting her here more often?
I'm just bringing it to you folks, making sure that you are aware of this, and we're going to try to work it on our end, but I think the conversation on your end might be helpful. And then I'm glad to say that we will be losing one of our key employees here with San Juan Island EMS, and that is Caitlin. She's our administrative assistant. She's been an EMT for us for years, and she has stepped into the administrative assistant position once. Then she went back on to as an EMT. Then she jumped back into our position as administrative assistant. She has taken a position up at Port Angeles, and she will be leaving us by the end of April. So we'll have to start looking for a replacement for her. We'll do it internally, and then we'll kick it out externally if we don't have a qualified person for this position. So this would be we're saddened for us, but we're happy for her that she's able to move on for her. And then this is my last commissioner's meeting with you folks and in the public in the group. I believe I'm leaving the position here in a good spot financially, and you're able to get the projects done, except for the CID investigation, which is still ongoing, and it parallels the Kaiser Permanente process that's going on as well. Carl is ready. We found Olivia that is a good supervising physician that has a lot of good information, good knowledge, and has a really dynamic teaching style that is important to our organization. You have a phenomenal bunch of employees that work underneath you folks, that the not only the staff EMTs, the paramedics, but also the volunteers. The feedback I get from the public is huge, and I think this is a well-run organization. You have people that are doing just a really knock-up job. So I think that is a great thing to say about this organization, and I think that Carl and the crew will do very well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief.
I have something to say. Can I jump in?
Actually, I wanted to proffer a motion, and then
okay.
And that is hooking back to my introduction, the presentation from Scott et al., that Peace Island is interested in revisiting the helipad here, the juxtaposition to Peace Island Medical Center ED. And in doing so, Dale Zender, who's a regional CEO, suggested that each involved party, including the PhD, have a couple of representatives to make sort of a steering committee, investigatory committee. And so we're tasked in doing that, and I would suggest that we have Mark Schwinge, who's a retired Delta Airlines captain, as well as air medical transport pilot, and Chief Carl Kunzig would be our appointee. Try to bring that up for board consideration.
I think it sounds good as a next step. They've presented all the information, so we need to go from here and find out what the next step is.
So you're well offering a motion?
Yeah, well, let's make it a motion because it's sort of stalling out here. So I call for a second to my suggestion that we have Dr. Mark and Carl be our liaisons with this steering committee.
I'll second that.
Very good. Discussion?
I'm trying to not use the word too flighty for Mark, but I have no problem with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I think it's a great idea. We're lucky to have Mark and Carl. They both were involved with the discussion with executive director of the port, Todd Nicholson, here just a couple weeks ago, which went extremely well. And I think to to carry on is in the best interest of the community and the PhD. So that's why I proffered the motion. Any other discussion?
How many meetings are this going to be? How big?
We don't know. It's just going to it's starting de novo. It's the principal parties are going to be Peace Island, Airlift Northwest, and the PhD. Call for a vote. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Passes. Did you vote for yourself?
No, I suppose I should abstain.
Okay, fine.
You're abstaining because we're voting on you, or you're abstaining because you have enough volunteer things already in your life?
No, I'm a subject to the motion. So.
Okay. Very good. Passes. 4-1 abstention. Very good. Now, Rebecca.
So, Jared, I'd like to say a few words. You're not going to get away this easy. So, in January 2016, the month that Jerry Martin started San Juan Island EMS as chief, the Star Wars film The Force Awakens broke box office records. By the time he retires in 3 days or whatever it is, he will have surpassed many EMS records and shown what a positive force he has been in the agency. On his very first day, he walked into union negotiations, the split with our air ambulance service, and an unbalanced budget. One would think he might have said, "I've got a bad feeling about this," and run, not walk, to the nearest exit. But he decided to stay, and with his oversight of many defining moments and major developments, the agency is truly in a better place. Chief Martin has steadfastly stood for EMS amidst a swirl of misinformation and a barrage of personal and professional attacks, never swerving from his role as protector of the agency and the public. We can point to his knowledge and more than 40 years of experience in emergency services as the reason that there have been so many accomplishments within the agency. These are a few. Emergency response times have been reduced. EMTs have been added to the staff. Nearly $200,000 has been received from the Accountable Communities for Health and Ground Emergency Medical Transportation Programs, with more to come over the next few months, over the next several years. The Community Paramedicine Program was initiated pretty much by Jerry himself, and it continues to grow. Past due accounts have been reduced to a normal amount, and a new billing service with enhanced capabilities is in place. A positive and balanced budget has been reached, with monies and reserves and operating costs better than average. The last levy was passed for 6 years with an exceptional 77% approval, and Jerry was instrumental in going to a lot of those meetings. Citizen outreach, prevention, and training programs have continued to grow. Updated protocols are being finalized to a mobile application. The process to implement mobile data terminals to include telemedicine and automatic vehicle locators continues to advance. Discussions about combining fire and EMS are progressing, an objective that you begin facilitating on first day. And the agency continues to maintain its status, ranking in the top 10 nationally for cardiac arrest survival rates. Chief Martin has said that he hopes he has been a positive influence and helped establish the agency as an exemplary organization. There is no doubt that he has accomplished both of these goals. His tenure here has certainly proved that his belief that it's all about excellent patient care for those we have the privilege to serve. This is what everyone in EMS, from our longest serving employee to our newest recruit, strives to do, and we have confidence that Chief Martin's belief will continue under Carl Kutzik's leadership into the future. I'm going to start calling him Chief Carl. Jerry, it has truly been our pleasure to know you and to work with you. May the force be with you as Karen and you move to the next chapter in your lives.
Thank you, Commissioners.
I have a little something too.
I had the pleasure of working with you for these 3 years closely, and some of us in the district wanted to send you off to come into your San Juan County.
Thank you.
Is it blue ink or black ink?
It's a little white card.
Uh-oh, you're throwing the pen around.
You've got to come up to the phone. So,
I'm not a part of this.
I'm really grateful that you did decide to stick around. And I was criticized once for using the term, you have my back. But it's just true. You have shepherded our agency and been there for us. And we're really grateful. So we have a clock instead of a plaque that just says Jerry Martin, 40 years of community service. And that's a little over 40 years now. And we really miss you. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're good now.
Thank you, guys. I'll just hold real quick.
Okay, I would like to just introduce myself. I'm Tina Tileman. I work with Chief Martin as his administrative assistant for 2 years during his three. Worked very closely with him, and it was a privilege and an honor to see somebody work so hard and so diligently and be so dedicated to not only just the agency and its staff, but everyone in this community. So I'm very proud to have been your assistant, and I will miss you terribly, but I'm sure we will meet again. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina.
I would add that Tina's voice is still on our answering machine. I think that's
yes.
A lot.
This week.
Well, we're willing to pay royalties for that, so.
Or you could just always come back.
Yeah. We're going to have an opening at the end of the month.
Okay, the next agenda item is the San Juan County PhD report. Superintendent Hutchins.
Thank you. For the month of February, we had total receipts from the county were $71,081.73, of which there were property tax revenues and leasehold tax. And the total cash available at the end of February is $711,921.31. And that is a high balance, but the approval of the Pete's Health subsidy was at the end of the month, so that money will be taken out for March. So you'll see that balance go down to normal limits. Disbursements, we had $19,988.15 for warrants processed in the month of February. And at the time I wrote this report, I did not have any public records expense, but yesterday I got the bill. So we did have, for a total, the last two public records totaled $6,274 in public records that we expense that we paid out in legal fees for those. Legal expense for February was $3,752.50, and the total for the year is $4,385. Accounting expense in February was $1,751.75, and for the year is $8,073.29, and that is for the financial audit predominantly that we just finished for 2017. I did talk, I went back to the county and talked to them because I was looking over EMS reports and I saw that they had their line items broken out between accounting audit expense. So I went back and said, well, you told me we couldn't, but you know, can we? So they looked again, and so for March, I will have the line items in the financials broken out between accounting services, state audit expense, and legal expense. And just like Chris, with what you have to do is submit journal entries to the county for moving the money into the line items to have the appropriate amounts in there. So the end of March, then we should have those totals separated. And you can look at the February financials, the expenditure fund, revenue and fund report. We're pretty much right on for the month of February. We've only gone 2 months, but the only things that are not trending, the 17%, are the legal expenses and our wages, which we will do a budget adjustment when we get our ending cash balance because we had the increase for Nathan going full time. So do y'all have any questions about the financials? No? Okay, let's move on to operations report. Okay, I usually report on the citizen advisory group. And they have their last meeting tonight at our district office at 6:30. And then they will give their final recommendations by the end of March. There's been a meeting set up for April 2nd at the Fire District 3 facility at 5 o'clock. And this will be a joint meeting between the Hospital District and Fire District 3. And they will be talking about the results of their hard work for the last several months. And so if you're interested in that, April 2nd, 5 o'clock at Fire. Also, you heard from Evan Perales at the beginning of the meeting, so he talked about what's going on with the long-term nursing task force. And so it's great that we can be a part of finding a solution for moving forward. And I will keep reporting on the donations we receive and what's happening on a feasibility study on that front. The other big news is that we finalized the 2017 financial records audit. We had our exit conference last Thursday, and it was the auditors, also Chair Edwards and Commissioner Lindstrom were in attendance, and also Chris Compton, myself, and Carl also went to introduce himself to the auditors, so he's up to speed and knows who to call for things about the audit. And they had good things to say about how we've looked at our internal controls and moving to cash basis, accounting, and things like that. I think in December, when they left, things were proceeding well, and we didn't think we were going to have any findings of that nature. But at the very end, when they looked at internal records keeping from the county and to look at from month to month the ending cash, beginning cash, and some of those record keeping chores, with now that we're only cash basis and rely so heavily on the Eden reports, they would like for them to be more supervision between the management and the commissioners. And so they recommended a finding to do further work on that. We talked about extensively what to do, the last steps to get that taken care of, and they were on board with our recommendations to final do the internal controls, and so that should be taken care of when they come back in the fall, probably October, for the 2018 financial record audit, and then the 2017-2018 accountability report. That would be our normal two-year cycle when they come back. So we'll look at these recommendations when they come back. Any questions?
It was noted that there were improvements.
Yes.
But one of the things they brought up was that the ending cash balance and the following month beginning cash balance were not matching at times, right? So that's something that we're
working on. Yeah, that's something.
The two adjustments that they had were related to the beginning cash and the ending cash balances, and part of that was just related to the transition from the GAAP basis to the cash basis, and what got included in there and what didn't. We had known that the beginning cash was off a little bit, but it was tied to the prior what was on the audit the year before. So the beginning cash balance would have been, so January 1, 2017, same as December 31, 2016 in the prior audit. And so we just used that same number to go forward. But then they determined that they had, audited the cash balances correctly the previous time, and so proposed that adjustment. And then the ending cash balance really had to do with breaking out without getting too nerdy, there's two, there's a report for the operational funds, and then there's another one for fiduciary funds, which is just the health reimbursement account. And that the health reimbursement account hadn't been that fiduciary funds report hadn't been broken out. And so what they highlighted was that the previous year the findings were related to accounting numbers issues and adjustments there, whereas this time that part's resolved, and it was really more along the lines of just making sure that we're adequately documenting all of our controls. So in some of those cases, like they we just didn't have it, what we didn't have enough documentation to show that we were meeting all of them. So making sure that we're actually documenting this stuff in certain checklists and sign-offs and all that.
I noticed those changes when I went through the changes.
Yeah. Good.
So in the meeting that we had with them, they did thank myself and Chief Martin for our ongoing commitment to strengthen the control and building a better relationship with their offices. We had many, many meetings with them trying to collaborate and take the next steps forward. But it's important to note that there were no material misstatements in the financial statements necessary for correction by management identified during the audit, and there were no uncorrected misstatements in the audited financial statements. So as far as numbers and reliability, they are good.
A lot of hours.
Early in there, you said about supervision, and you were going to come back. Explain that to me again, that they had said that they need more supervision between the superintendent
and the board. More documentation on the checklist. Like when I go over the reports with Commissioner Lindstrom, we point out how these are the Eden reports, and this is what the monthly totals were, and these matched to there, and we go over that, but there wasn't a specific checklist that signed off on those specific corrections that we looked at it. So they want to see, they're all about documentation.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
even though we showed, and they could see where we looked at that thing, that, you know, they wanted to be able to have a more formal, yes, I looked at it, Commissioner Matt looked at it, and in EMS's case, they have three people. They have the EMS assistant doing, then they have the chief looking at it, and then they also have the financial advisor doing it, so there's three. So it's just a matter of having a lot of checks and balances and signing off on it to make sure that when they look at it, they can make sure that, yes, everybody looked at it.
So it's more mechanical than philosophical.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good way
of putting it. Exactly.
It's just the fact that it, and I, it's something when I, back when I used to do more auditing, or a lot of auditing, and that was something I have to hammer people on too, is that you can have the stuff that you need to, I mean, I believe that you do it, but the audit standards require that you have to see the documentation that it is being done, and so if the documentation is missing, then you don't have the evidence that it actually is.
So, do we have a process to bring the commissioner that is doing that with you guys? Is there a process that they can, is there a checklist how they learn the job? I mean, Annalisa does it at work, but, you know, what happens if
an alien from Star Wars comes and
takes her away, and, you know,
that's
how do we teach that?
That's part of the checklist that we're working.
That's what
expanding.
I redid our checklist, and so it has all of the points, and that's, I did my part, then I looked at the totals, I signed that, then she went over it with me, she looked at everything again, she signed, so.
So if there's a new Annalisa, how does she learn the job? That's my question.
Well, by looking at
the way I learned it was doing it with Barbara Sharp, so mm-hmm. I would just sit down. The next person. Go through what I do with Pam.
There's a lot of steps documented on it.
Okay.
Or we could train someone else. Do you think that's appropriate?
No, I'm just, I just,
he's
no, believe me, no, I'm not, believe me, not volunteering to check them. No.
Thank you.
Not this pay grade. That's above my pay grade in this organization.
Thank you.
You done, Ben?
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I'm done, if you're done.
Thank you so much.
So does this mean you're not going to be over there at 8 o'clock at night for the next couple of weeks?